matter what people say. We got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
I spazz
on, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now,
welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend so far and that you guys are getting ready for the week ahead. This weekend, the weather was pretty great up here in the Northeast, I think. I really didn't do much, though, I mean, I was in the streets and the weather was actually pretty good, but I just didn't have the drive to do much. I went to church. I went to choir rehearsal because choir rehearsal's back. Today there was the Harlem Fashion Week event that I will be attending right after this show airs. But aside from that, it was a pretty chill weekend, pretty low key weekend. You know, like I said, we're in the fall, so summer things, are no longer happening. But I do enjoy and appreciate the slow weekends. This was one of the weekends where I did not have a million things going on at the same damn time. I literally was able to chill. I got a bottle of wine. I watched some Netflix. I did some laundry. It was a very chill weekend. So hopefully yours was not as bad. I mean, if it was eventful, that's good. We like eventful weekends sometimes, just not all the times. So today I have a very special guest by the name of Jamie Bowles. If any of you know anything about WJMS, you will know that she is the owner of the station. So she's actually going to be on the show with me. Today, we're going to just chop it up, talk about long distance relationships, and she's going to talk about her personal experience being in one and maybe some of that, like the pros and cons of being in a relationship and kind of a long distance relationship, rather, and kind of how I feel like back in the day, let's say like 10 years ago, it was a thing. People were more so like, yeah, my man is, you know, in California or my girl lives in like Texas. And that was okay. But I feel like as time went on, there were less and less occurrences of willing long distance relationships. I mean, if you're in the military, like that's something that's pretty common. If you have like a boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife or whatever's in the military, they'll be away. But I'm talking about like choosing to date somebody who you know lives like 3,000 miles away and trying to make things like that work. Don't really hear too much. Well, I have not heard much of that happening. But now we're back into this like 90-day fiance craze, this, you know, married at first sight craze where, and I feel like relationships are just not, they're not the way that they used to be. They're not approached in the same manner. And I feel like long distance relationships are starting to make a comeback, but maybe for the wrong reasons. I think people are kind of maybe tired of trying and tired of really looking for love in a sense. And so what they're looking for is really more so companionship. And so that's why I find like the catfish shows are thriving because people are really engaging in meaningful conversation and actually developing real relationships, or at least on one side it's a real relationship, over text, over email, and over the phone. Like, I know people who have been dating people, or they've been dating a person for like months and they have not actually met them in person. There's always something going on. There's always like a reason in which they haven't met, you know, met up or connected. And this is not even like a real long distance relationship, maybe like a couple of like cities over. But people are just so comfortable with receiving the good morning text. How was your day? It's like a modern day, like pen pal situation, just via, you know, social media and like through text. And I feel like, I don't know. I don't know exactly how I feel with regards to that. I don't know how I feel about it, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's an odd thing, but I find that that's what's happening now. So Jamie's going to come on, Just Jams. She's going to come on. She's going to talk about her experience. And we're going to kind of dissect this a little bit, this little, you know, this new dating era and like the rebirth of the long distance relationships. So you definitely want to keep it locked for that. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know that we have our preliminaries. So right now it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the word?
The definition.
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Popping on fleek, Jalit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary phrase of the week is Sharpie Gate. Now, this is the first time I've heard of this. Today is totally random. I did not pre-approve this one. But Sharpie Gate is a Twitter trend that started after Donald Trump falsely claimed that Hurricane Dorian was going to strike Alabama per their local weather service, although their weather service told them otherwise. So I feel like this is a tongue twister for me. Basically, the local channels was like, nah, son, Hurricane Dorian is not coming to Alabama. But Trump, in all his power, declared that it was. Despite the evidence of being proven wrong, Trump held a press conference in the Oval Office with the National Weather Service map apparently doctored, with a cone shape displayed on parts of Alabama in black marquee. In black marker. I meant to say Sharpie. In black marker. It's embarrassing, possibly illegal, and especially a strong indicator on just how insecure the president is. Instead of manning up and admitting that he is boo-boo, he prefers to whine about fake news and how fake news is being mean to him. Further example, Sharpie Gate makes me long for a real leader. So basically, I guess Sharpie Gate. I love how people attach gate after everything. I'm one of those people, like any type of investigation type thing, I will totally put gate at the end of it, right? So Sharpie Gate basically is referring to President Trump's, you know, I don't know what he's up to, but he basically declared that Alabama was going to get hit. He was not backing down on it. He pulled out a map. He drew some lines, circled, drew a cone to show, I guess, where the hurricane or how the hurricane was going to approach Alabama, because clearly we missed the fact that he went to meteorology school and is a meteorologist. And he declared that Hurricane Dorian was going to hit Alabama, even though the actual trained professionals said it was not going to hit Alabama. He went forward against all rationale and said that it was. So that's where Sharpie Gate came from. So I don't really know if people are going to be talking about this in the streets, but Sharpie Gate, I mean, I guess anytime you see something that looks like it's doctored with a black marker, you can call it Sharpie Gate, or you can refer to it as a Sharpie Gate situation. Gotta love them. But either way, that is the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. So in speaking about Hurricane Dorian and the Bahamas, really, so my heart really goes out to the Bahamas right now. I mean, I've been involved in disaster relief for about, like, I don't know, it's been like over 10 years now. And this is probably one of the first times I've not, you know, involved myself in a relief effort, not because of the Bahamas, nothing like that. It's just that where I am in my life right now, just starting a new job, it's a little difficult for me to pack up, head down to the Bahamas and, you know, give aid. But I do want to big up all of the organizations that have been putting together fundraisers, collecting money, collecting items, you know, medical professionals that have actually descended down to Hurricane Dorian, down to Bahamas to help those affected by Hurricane Dorian. So the big up of the week goes to all of you all.
Watch it.
And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up.
All of you guys. A couple of my friends had actually put on certain events over the last, you know, couple of weeks to raise money and awareness for Hurricane Dorian victims. So, I mean, I've watched the news, a lot of devastation. I mean, but that's kind of what happens when we're talking about these hurricanes. But, you know, the people of Bahamas are seriously affected. They really do, you know, need our assistance, whether it be money, whether it be clothing, whether it just be donating your time to go down there and help with the relief efforts and the rebuilding. There's going to be a lot of rebuilding that's going to be needed in the Bahamas. So, I mean, maybe as the months go on, maybe I might be able to pair up with an organization and go down there and help. I'm more of an on-the-ground person. I'm not really more of a, you know, fundraiser person. I actually like to get down there and work, get my hands dirty. So if there are any organizations that are going to be going in the next couple of months, maybe I might find myself on this trip. But I did want to take this time out to highlight something, though. So there's a lot of rhetoric going on in these streets, a lot of talk with respect to the unfair treatment and the disproportionate allocation of resources that are happening with the Haitian Bahamians out there that are affected by Hurricane Dorian. I mean, for those of you who don't know, there's always been, you know, anti-Haitian sentiment going on in the Bahamas. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, when you come from a country like Haiti, when we, you know, we come from a country where, you know, we set the tone for liberation in the world, really, right? There's always going to be haters. So it does not surprise me that there's anti-Haitian sentiment going on in the Bahamas. It happens everywhere, to be honest. It's nothing to be shocked about. But I think what I find to be shocking in this particular instance is that we're talking about a natural disaster that has hit and destroyed, you know, a Caribbean nation that hit the Bahamas. At this point, there should not be, you know, Haitian this, Haitian that, Bahamian this, Bahamian that. It should be, there's a group of individuals that need our assistance. And so if it is true that there are resources that are not really being allocated to the Haitians and that the Haitians are being treated unfairly and are being treated disproportionately only because they are Haitian, then that's a problem. That's a serious, serious issue that needs to be looked into. I know that there are a lot of Haitian organizations that have been made abreast of this treatment and are, you know, forming coalitions and are creating ways or trying to find ways to make sure that the Haitians living in Bahamas are being given the resources and that they are also receiving aid and that they are also being assisted with, you know, this post-hurricane, disaster. I'm just pointing that out, that if you are an organization or if you are someone who are raising funds or who have any plans of going down to the Bahamas to, distribute aid or to give assistance, lend a helping hand, whatever you want to call it, just be mindful of that, because I've heard it from several different outlets, and some of these outlets are actually very credible sources. And also because I know people who are Haitian Bahamian, I know that there is an anti-Haitian sentiment down there. So it would not shock me if this is really going on, that Haitians are not receiving the proper assistance because they're Haitian down there. So I would just like to highlight that. So if you are an organization, again, who's going down to the Bahamas or who's sending money to the Bahamas, make sure that whoever you're partnering with on the ground is fair, is credible, is reliable, and they're not, you know, shutting out Haitians or whatever other groups that the Bahamians feel should be left out of the aid process. Because, I mean, this is natural disasters are natural disasters. You know, nature takes its course. And people living within the affected areas should not be discriminated against at this time. When really all we need to be doing is just coming together and rebuilding. We need to rebuild. We need to provide aid. We need to make sure that people are safe and people are fed and that people have somewhere that they can, you know, weather the storm. So that's my spiel on that. So now moving along to the Womp Womp of the Week. So this week's Womp Womp of the Week goes to the legal system. As for some reason, I feel like half of my womp womps somehow have to deal with the legal system. So let me not say I'm pretty sure, because this really just came out in the news like a couple of days ago. So for those of you who remember, I reported on this or I commented on this a little while back, the Felicity Huffman scandal and Becky from Full House, Lauren, I can't remember what her last name, Laurie, I forgot, Lachlan or whatever her last name is, how they were involved in the college admission scam. Well, the verdict is out and the sentencing has been made for Felicity Huffman. For those of you who are not familiar with her, she's been in a variety of movies lately, even pending settlement, or not settlement, but pending this, you might as well call it a settlement. I mean, I don't know, but the sentencing. But she is well known for her role in Desperate Housewives, and she's been in a lot of other movies. I just can't remember. Either way, Felicity Huffman basically got sentenced to 14 days in jail and a $300,000 fine for her college admission scam. That was like all over the headlines. Like this was like top news in America and probably the world for like a good week or two. People were outraged. People were just like, you know, this is ridiculous. So basically the scam was that she had engaged in, well, basically, I don't know if she did it for other people, but she basically paid off somebody to get her daughter into a particular university. That's what the scam was. You know, rich parents from all over the world apparently have been involved in, you know, bribing officials at schools, you know, creating fake profiles for their children, having them, you know, I guess, receive full scholarships for sports teams, for sports that they never, ever played in their lives. So Felicity Huffman was caught in this scandal. And I knew from the get that she wasn't going to get any real jail time. I mean, people always hope that the media or the legal system will make examples out of individuals. And, you know, I don't know. But in this particular case, they did not really make an example out of her because they sentenced her to 14 days and a $300,000 fine. Now, for celebrities like Felicity Huffman, $30,000 is like $3,000 to us, maybe $300 to regular people, regular working class people. So she was probably able to pay that right quick, you know, right before she even left the courthouse. She stopped, you know, at the little center there, and she made her payment and called it a day. But she's sentenced to 14 days in jail, which means she's probably going to do, I don't know, maybe 9 days, less than that. It doesn't seem like she's going to do any more than that. But why has this created so much outrage? Well, I'll tell you. It's because not too long, I don't remember exactly what year this took place, but not too long ago, a woman by the name of Tanya McDowell was sentenced to 5 years for stealing free education. And what we mean by that is she enrolled her child in another district. This is something that people have been doing forever. I mean, I'm not putting my business out there, but people have been doing this forever, okay? You live in one District 12. The schools in District 12 are run down, no resources. You got an auntie who lives in District 14, and you enroll your child in District 14 under auntie's address or whatever the case is. Like, this is just something that happens. We're out here trying to make sure that our children are educated. This, in my opinion, compares has no comparison to Felicity Huffman bribing coaches, creating whole fake profiles, lying about their children being on, I don't know, the crew team or the row team, and getting their children spots into prestigious colleges, taking away slots from other people who are more deserving of the slot, of the slot, the spot, slot, whatever. 14 days. But yet Tanya, who wants to make sure that her child actually has a textbook as part of his educational curriculum, gets sentenced to 5 years in prison. This is not jail. 5 years in prison. Obviously, Tanya McDowell is black. And we all know that Felicity Huffman is white. We see, I mean, you don't need to be a savant. You don't need to be like a scholar to see what's going on here. So that's caused a lot of outrage within the community. People are reposting, posting this, you know, side by side post of Felicity Huffman and Tanya McDowell. I mean, it's another day in America. I mean, nothing here is shocking, to be honest, but it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, at one point things were subtle, right? Things are no longer subtle anymore. Now it's just in your face. Before, you know, these little, you know, discrepancies, little things were just under the radar. You really had to like sit here and, I wonder. Now you don't have to wonder. It's in your face. Like I can't even say it doesn't make sense anymore. Because it is making sense. It makes a lot of sense. It's just sad that this is just, you know, our reality in America. Like, it just doesn't, I don't know. Hopefully, there are petitions to free Tanya McDowell, lessen her sentence, maybe vacate it altogether. Hopefully, you know, because I know people like to go hard for the celebrities. You know, free ASAP, free Pimp C, free Weezy, free what's the latest one that went back to jail? Kodak Black, free Kodak Black. But how about you know, justice for Tanya McDowell? Let's see some hashtags for that. Let's see some of these grassroots organizations. They might already be doing it. You know, sometimes I'm not always up on the news like that. But if you're not doing it, hopefully let's get some organizations together, some grassroots organizations together to really vacate Tanya McDowell's, you know, sentence here. Because it's to say it's unfair is an understatement, but it's just one of these things where, you know, we understand that we're living in an unfair society, a disproportionate society. But I feel like we give so much push, so much effort. We put so much effort into freeing celebrities, into, you know, justice for all these celebrities and whatnot who, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if you're found with, you know, kilos of cocaine, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say about that. Or if you're found with all of these like assault rifles and AK whatever, or you try to get on a plane with a gun, I really don't know where my sympathy is for you. But when we're talking about like mothers, single mothers, even if you're not a single mother, parents trying to do better for their children, and you're getting 5 years because you enrolled your kid in a different school district. I mean, we're really getting jail time for that? Really? Prison time? 5 years? It just doesn't make sense. We have to do better. We have to do better as a society. If we are, you know, if we are going to be out here protesting for everything, let's do a little more protesting for this. Let's really get these organizations together. Where are the lawyers doing the pro bono work? You know, again, this is probably already happening. Maybe, I hope. But if it's not, let's get something together. Because it just doesn't make sense. And clearly, as individuals standing on our own, we're not going to be able to fight the system. And can the system really be fought? That's another question. That's another episode. But since we're out here attempting, because we're posting hashtags for all these other celebrities, we might as well do what we need to do for, you know, the regular people like you and I. Because it could have been your auntie, it could have been your sister, hell, it could have been you yourself that, you know, got 5 years sentencing for enrolling your kid in a different district. You know what I mean? So my womp womp of the week goes to the legal system yet again, because who's handing out these sentences? I mean, I need to go back and like evaluate what what the jury was looking like. Was it a pool of her peers? Probably. Probably. I don't know. But I just needed to report on this because it's trending in the news right now. It's trending. People have so much things to say about it. And it's just disgusting. It's disgusting to me. So that's that.
All right, everyone. I'm here with my very, very special guest, Jamie Just Jammed Bulls. Jamie, introduce yourself. And $5 to anyone who could actually recognize
yeah, right.
who she is before she goes into her spiel.
You should know my voice by now at this stage of the game, but I'm Jamie Bowles. I am the owner of WJMS Radio. I'm the host of Sound Off and the co-host of We Out Here Radio as well on the station. And of course, I am joining my favorite girl here for her show. We have some good conversation for you guys, but I was really just, you know, excited to be invited on the show in the first place. So I always love it when I get to, you know, cameo on my host shows. It makes me excited.
Yeah, and it's been a long time coming. It's been actually over a year now since I've been on WJMS. And yep. So I'm like, this is great. Finally found an opportunity. This actually came out of nowhere. It fell from the sky. Although we've been planning, you know, an episode, but this one really just came out of nowhere. So I was like, all right, great.
Spontaneous, you know, that's
spontaneous.
How it is.
It's always the best as well, too, in my opinion, when you catch people off guard. So today I wanted to kind of talk about relationships since we're going into the whole, you know, cuffing season, relationship season, because the weather outside is a little chillier now. We're getting into winter grooves. And I haven't done my cuffing season episode yet, which I will do within the next couple of weeks. But I wanted to kind of talk about relationships in the sense of like long distance relationships and kind of touch on that topic a little bit, especially since I think I did a 90 Day Fiancé episode a couple months ago with my boy Cliff, and 90 Day Fiancé is still going strong. We're about to get the tell all episode, I think either tonight or next week. So with, you know, just being in that realm of like 90 Day Fiancé and seeing like on television now, a lot of the reality shows are, I mean, aside from The Bachelor and everything like that, we're talking about long distance relationship shows like 90 Day Fiancé, where people are, you know, meeting people on social media or on the internet abroad and then getting together that way. And then we're having shows like Married at First Sight. So it seems to be like a phenomenon that is like coming back. Like before, I was telling you offline, I feel like years ago, maybe like 10 years ago, I had a lot of friends who were talking about they were in long distance relationships by choice. But I find that nowadays that's not really the thing. And in fact, when you ask somebody, hey, would you be open to a long distance relationship? They're kind of like, no. But I know that you've been in one for quite some time, and I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit and kind of talk about your experience, one, being in a long distance relationship. Are there any pros? What are the cons? I know there are some obvious cons, but you know, there are cons that might exist that we don't really see. And just to kind of flesh that out a little bit, because I think that we're kind of going back in a cycle where people are becoming more and more open because there's not as really as much fish in the sea as the proverbial saying says. There's a lot of fish in the sea. There really doesn't seem to be fish in the sea, especially for Black women.
Yeah.
And so I feel like as a Black woman myself, who has not really found anything in the sea, I don't know if it's the Dead Sea that I'm fishing in. I don't know what it is. the Black Sea. I don't know. Not really finding much in the sea. And so some, you know, for me personally, I'm really about companionship. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Do I get into the pen pal thing? Do I, you know, should I be looking for like a long distance relationship? Will that satisfy like my desire for companionship? So Jamie, the floor is yours. Educate a sister.
I guess it makes sense to kind of give you the background on my relationship. Yes. So people know where we're coming from. So I am engaged to a wonderful pain in the butt named Frank, who I absolutely love with all my heart. And, you know, he's been my rock, especially through diagnosis and everything else. We've been together since October of 2016. So we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary, which we will not be together for, but that's okay. And we weren't originally, we haven't been long distance the entire time. Like, so the funny thing is when we first got together, he mentioned it, you know, he told me, he's like, oh, you know, I'm in the Army and, you know, my contract or whatever you want to call it is up and I'm going to be relocating, you know, down south or something like that, or somewhere, you know, somewhere besides New York, you know, in about 5-6 months. And I was like, okay, so basically I'm going to toss you in the friend zone. Cause I was like, I'm like, nah, I'm all set. Like, you know, he put that out there from Jump Street. And I was like, not interested in long distance. So we'll keep this as a friend, light, casual, whatever type thing, and keep it moving. And he was all for that too. You know, he was like, you know, we could still hang out and be friends. And if someone else comes into your life, then, you know, I'll back off and, you know, let you do you. But he's like, you know, until then, you know, we could just kind of hang out and be cool. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm with it. And, you know, famous last words, like that's how he snuck his way into my life. but it turned into this thing where, like, you know, we have really great chemistry. You know, anybody who's actually met us or been around us in person can attest to that. Like, him and I have very good chemistry together. We balance each other out in a very good way. And I think both of us realized that early on in the relationship. And it came to a point where, like, he wasn't talking to anybody else and I wasn't talking to anybody else. And, like, the day, or I guess the weekend that we actually made it official and got together, you know, contrary to what I was originally intending to do, was when we went up to Boston and went to my best friend's little brother / my little brother, I guess, his wedding. And it was funny because I remember we were talking, like, we would talk on Snapchat, and, like, the first time we started talking, he thought I was, like, catfishing him because I didn't want to do video. And I'm like, for people that know me, you know that I hate doing video because I'm really awkward on video. So it's like, there's a reason I do radio and not TV, you know what I mean? So it's like, I would never seem to want a video chat. And he's like, you must be fat. You must be ugly. You must not look like your pictures. Like, he was really running the gauntlet of, like, why I wouldn't get on video chat with him, until finally I was like, all right. So we got on Skype or on Snapchat, and we were just Snapchatting each other back and forth. And I remember the day that I asked him, because I was like, well, I'm not really talking to anybody else, and I kind of need a date for this wedding because I already said I had a plus one and I don't have a plus one. So I'm like, you know what? Let me see what happens. I'm like, I'm either, two things are going to happen in this trip. Either we're going to have a great time and things are going to go awesome, or we're going to have an awful time and that'll be the end of it. Simple as that. It's either going to be one or the other. So I asked him, I was like, would you like to be my date to this wedding? And it's in Boston. So that means you would have to drive up to Boston with me and, you know, we'd be staying at my sister's house or whatever. And then we'd come back, you know, on Sunday night and, you know, so on and so forth. And he was like, yeah. It was like, oh, like, there was, like, not even, he was like, yeah, sure. It was like not even a hesitation. I was like, okay, cool. All right, great. And I remember, like, we got in the car and, like, that was our first time having, like, a long, because the drive from New York to Boston is about 3 hours with traffic from where we're going up in Massachusetts. So I'm like, all right, you know, this is 3 hours in a car. And we had been talking probably for, like, at least a couple of months, you know, sort of exclusively for a couple of months, like 2-3 months or whatever. So, like, we had things in common. We had gone and seen each other many a time and stuff like that. But we hadn't, you know, moved forward or solidified anything. We really were just talking and that was it. Like, literally that was it. So I was like, okay, so this is going to be a weird drive. So we hopped in the car and, like, we started driving and we started singing and duetting together and just, you know, busting it up and having a great time. And, you know, what I said out of the two things that happened, we had a great time and he ended up asking me to be his girlfriend at the wedding. And it was, like, really sweet and really cute and really cliche. And I was like, yes, sure. And then I came back home in a relationship, but it was like, remember at the beginning of the story, I said that I wasn't really entertaining him because I knew he was leaving. So like in the back of my mind, I was like, girl, like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, why are you doing this? Like, all the red flags were going up because he had not necessarily red flags, but I have and I don't want to say their standards, but their preferences that I have in terms of my dating life. You know, like I typically don't date guys with kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't date guys who are married. And I hardly ever date guys in the military because I just never considered myself strong enough to be a military wife. Because I just, you know, the distance thing, and they can be called at any time. And it's just like that always just seemed very, very much not ideal for me. So I was never with it. So it's like all of these things that like on my normal list of why I won't date you would be big, huge red X's. You know, I threw it all to the caution to the wind and was like, but I really actually like this guy. So I was like, okay, you know, like clearly my standards, but clearly my preferences haven't necessarily panned out in my favor lately, especially given my track record. So I'm like, maybe try something new. And I you know, gave him a try, and almost three years later, here we are. And we've had, of course, our ups and downs and bumps and bruises. But it came past his 6-month thing, and he got the opportunity with the Army to stay another year. So he actually extended his contract for an additional year to stay close to me, which was great. So like he didn't actually leave, and he shipped out December 8th of last year, and he's going to be back. Theoretically, he should be back December 8th of this year. So I got a couple months before he comes back. So it's been about a year or so. And in that year, we've obviously gone through a lot of crap in terms of my health and all that stuff. But like, yeah, I just, that's kind of like the nitty gritty of the relationship and sort of where we came from. And we met online. So there are some decent fish on Plenty of Fish, but I had to do a lot of fishing to find a decent fish. So it is definitely slim pickings out there, you know, in the African American community for fish in the sea.
All right. So, I mean, so now you're saying that in a couple of months he will be back. Now, is this like for good or just for a short period of time?
So he's 15 years into the Army. He's going to retire at 20. So he's got another 5 years to go. I'd love to say that this is his last tour, but theoretically and realistically speaking, he'll probably go again one more time. Hopefully no place crazy. Hopefully not to war. Hopefully it'll just be, you know, a deployment someplace else. But in the meantime, you know, we're moving and all that kind of stuff. So we're kind of solidifying our life either way. And he'll come back wherever he goes to. He'll just come back to me wherever, you know, he has to come from. So I'm hoping that this will be the last time, but I'm being realistic and looking at the Army and how it's structured. I think he may possibly have one more tour to do.
Okay. So now what would you say? No, that, like it's going into the whole long distance relationship, putting that hat on. I mean, you're wearing that hat, but now focusing, I guess, more so on it on a general sense. Do you think that there are any pros to a long distance relationship? Because I've heard people say, you know what, you get to know the person in a different way, in a deeper way, when you don't see them all the time, and when you're not, you know, in their face all the time, you get to really talk, you get to really communicate. And in that sense, long distance relationships are really good for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll run down the list of very few pros that there are to long distance relationships, because they are few and far between. But at least for me and from my perspective, but it's with long distance relationships, you do tend to get to know each other a lot better. You were right about that. And what I mean is that we talk a lot more than we normally would. You know, sometimes when your significant other is with you, sometimes you guys aren't doing anything. Sometimes you guys are just in the house together. You know, you may be in separate rooms, or you may be in the same room just watching a TV show, whatever. You're enjoying each other's company, but you're not engaging with each other. You're not speaking to each other. You're not actively communicating with each other. When you're in a long distance relationship with somebody, communication is really all you have. So it's like, you got to talk to that person, because otherwise, you know, what's the point? You know, so I will say I'm grateful that in this day and age, there's video chat, there's Skype, there's FaceTime, there's Facebook Messenger and Facebook video and all that kind of stuff. So I see him, you know, on video basically every day. You know, we chat every day. And that was the one thing that I didn't know about. And I will preface this by saying I've only ever been in maybe one other long distance relationship in my entire life, because I'm not for it. I hate it. I absolutely detest it, because I'm a brat and I like attention, and you can't get that when your man is far away. So for me, long distance relationships are always like a run screaming for the hills type situation, or at least they have been in the past. But it's different when you're with the right person, I guess. And I know that's really cliche to say, but you know, I look forward to my communications with him. You know, like I look forward when I wake up in the morning. He's also in Korea, so he's 14 hours ahead of where we are. So he's already gone to bed for the night, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning here. So it's 11:42 p.m. Sunday night where he is. So he's already asleep for the night, you know, and I'm starting my day basically. But it's, I look forward to our communications. You know, I look forward to waking up in the morning and I see a message from him, or like I'll get the message that he's video chatting with me, which beforehand would have been like an absolute, like, I'm not doing this. I don't do video chat. We've been through this. I don't want to do it. But like, that's the only way to see him now. So it's like one of the pros of him being this far away is, you know, little things really make you happy in the relationship. You know, you can't rely on that physical touch and that physical embrace from somebody. Mm-hmm. So the weight of the relationship really boils down to the communication. And I will say, like, you know, we'll send each other, like, he'll every now and then send me paragraphs of just like how he's feeling about me and how he's feeling about our situation and our future and all that kind of stuff. And I'll send him paragraphs back. And like, those are the kind of things that, like, if you remember when you were in like junior high or like early high school and you had your little crush, and like he would, I mean, I'm this old, I'm going to date myself on this show right now. But, you know, you would get the little folded up note from your crush and you were like, oh my God, I got a note from him. Or like, you know, little things like that, that would, you know, make your heart skip a beat or two. When you're in a long distance relationship, you're back to that point, you know, like little things like just a message, like a good morning with a, you know, an emoji in it, or just, you know, I was thinking about you this morning, I can't wait to be home to you type of stuff. Like, it makes your heart excited. It makes you, you know, want to see that person. So, I mean, that's one of the pros is just like, you know, it really reestablishes the little things in a relationship when you're in a long distance relationship. Another pro is you don't fight as much. You know, I will say you don't fight as much because you're looking forward to communication with each other so much that you're like, you know, you're just excited to talk to each other. You know, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm about to talk to him. Like, you know, it's just, it's happy times. You know, it's not like I'm about to like, wait till he gets home tonight, I got something to say to him. Like, it's nothing like that. You know, you're like, I can't wait to actually talk to him. But in military, it's a little bit more complicated. You know, the other thing that you got to be mindful of too, when you're in the military or when you're dating somebody in the military, is like, they're in the field and they're doing real life stuff. Like, they're dealing with, you know, explosives and situations, and they're in foreign countries and stuff like that. So like, they need to know that home is okay. So you need to let them know that home is okay. And you need to be a source of peace for them when they do call, because it's like, they may be calling you to vent about a really bad day that they've had, or they may just be calling you not even to vent, but just to be normal for a few minutes, you know, and get out of that whole entire mindset. So there's a part of you that has to be like, you know, happy to chat with them when they're in the military, because it's like you have this responsibility to make sure that at the end of the day, when you hang up the phone with them, they know that home is good and you leave on a good note, so that you're not thousands of miles apart from each other arguing, because there's nothing worse than being in a slight argument with somebody and they're thousands of miles away. And it's like, all you're doing is letting that anger fester and fester and fester until you guys talk to each other again. So there's a lot less fighting. There's a lot less bickering when you're in a long distance relationship, because you're just excited for the communication and for the general being around each other that you have with that person. And then, other than that, it's like when they come home, you're just really, really happy to see them. And that's basically it. Like, there are no other pros to being in a long distance relationship. I guess for me too, it's like, I have a lot going on. I'm busy a lot. So it's like, for me, it's almost nice to be in a long distance relationship, because it's like, it's one thing that I don't have to put as much physical effort into. You know, it's like, just chat when we can chat and talk to each other when we can talk to each other. And if I find a meme or something that makes me laugh or whatever, I send it his way and hope that it brightens his day. But I got a lot going on. So it kind of gives me the opportunity to focus on some of those things that I have going on. It distracts me from the fact that he's not here. And it really kind of makes the time pass by a little bit faster. So if you're a busybody like me, sometimes it's good, because it's like, you know, you got that rock and you know it's there. But it also gives you time to focus on the other things that you got to get done as well and distract yourself a little bit. So there's very few pros, you know, maybe like four, but I mean, it kind of is what you make it, to be honest.
Okay. So now, I guess, to go back a little bit to when you first met Frank and you said that, you know, you typically don't date people, you know, you don't typically do the long distance relationship thing, but you were, I guess, open to it, I guess, because he was just that charming.
I don't know. There's just something about him, you know, like that's my baby. You know, like, it's it was what it was. It was like, by the time we got into the relationship and by the time that him and I got like actually together and we were together, it was too late for me to turn back. It was one of those slippery slopes where it was like, we got to know each other and started to enjoy each other's company so much that when we did become official and the long distance thing became part of the situation, it was like, well, damn, like, I guess this is just something I got to accept as part of the relationship because we in this now, like, you know, like we in this together. So we're just going to have to make it work. It was just like, there's no turning back now. It was too late, too late to push abort. It was like, you're already in this. So.
Okay. And the reason I bring that up is because I think a lot of people off the bat already, you know, come to mind saying, listen, I'm not in, like, automatically, I'm not into long-distance relationships. It's not my thing. Like, why would anybody want to do that to themselves? You know, I like this, I like that. And so, like, we already have this thing ingrained in our mind that, like, I don't care how cool you are, how cute you are, how charming you are, how amazing you are. Like, I automatically don't want to, you know, get into that. And so that's why I wanted to kind of like touch on that, you know, you kind of had that in your mind that, well, I don't really do long distance relationships, but because, you know, you were open in a sense, you were open to experience.
Yeah.
You allowed yourself to move on a path that you otherwise, you know, would never have. And I think that being open part is what prevents a lot of us from, you know, meeting the people that we should be with. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was like, let me rewind the tape real quick. Cause I remember she said she wasn't open to this.
Well, and keeping in mind too, I had an ex. I've only ever dated one other guy in the military. And this was a guy that I like had a crush on in fourth grade. And like, we didn't get together until I was grown and he was grown, not really grown, but we were, where was I? What stage of my life was I in? I feel like it was college time and was it college time? Yeah, it had to be college time. Yeah, so it was college time. He was in Massachusetts and I was in Philadelphia going to school. But I would, you know, obviously come home for the summers and stuff like that for the first year or two. But I dated him for a little while, but he was just enlisting. So the situation with him was totally different because like him and I had known each other since we were little kids. Our families knew each other. So when we got together, our mothers were like, ah, like they were all excited and we were like, okay, cool, whatever. But it was like we were only together for 2 months and he was just starting to enlist in the, I want to say the Navy. And I was like, don't do it. I was like, don't do it. Don't go. And I was not supportive of his decision to join the Army and join the military because I was like, no, you know, like I don't want to do a long distance relationship. I don't want to be an Army wife. I'm not interested in being a military spouse. Like I was like, don't go, don't go. But he did it anyway. And then when he did do it, you know, his first deployment was like Hawaii or something ridiculous. And I was like just in Pennsylvania. I was just getting settled. I had just gotten like full time job, salary with benefits, all the good stuff, fresh out of college, which for a lot of my friends was not a reality. And so I was grateful for that. And at the time he was like, oh, well, you should move with me to Hawaii. And I was like, no. You know, I was absolutely 100% against it. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not dropping everything that I've created and everything that I've worked hard for so you can go and chase your dreams. Like, that's not fair. You know, like I'm chasing my dreams here. And he didn't seem to understand that. And I didn't seem to understand that. We weren't as mature as I am now, obviously. You know, like we were younger back then. I was still in my little bit of a selfish phase. Like, no, I built all this and I'm trying to be, you know, I'm on my Beyonce or whatever. Like, I'm trying to be my independent woman doing my thing. Like, I don't need you. You need me type situation. And we broke up because I was like, I'm not doing the long distance thing. And I think we should just, you know, be friends. I'm not moving to Hawaii. And he was really upset that like I wouldn't drop my life to move with him. And I'm like, well, we've only been together for 2 months and that's really not fair of you to ask of me. You know, so that whole relationship for me, it was like, you know, absolutely not, red check on the box. You're done. I'm all set, you know. And then several years later, insert Frank from left field, who presents me almost with the same situation. Mm-hmm. And there was no hesitation. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, you're going to be, we're moving. Okay, that's fine. Like, you want me to move down south? Let's move down south. You know, like, it's when you're older and when you're more mature and when you are open to those situations, I feel like it allows you to experience these things and to be more open to experiencing these things and realizing that there's two sides to each coin. You know, you may only be looking at the bad side of the coin when you're younger, but when you're older and you're looking at the flip side, it's like, you know, as a mature adult, yeah, we can make long distance work. It's not going to be permanent. It's just a temporary setback. So it's like the things that, you know, when I was younger would make me say, it would absolutely make me run for the hills. You know, I dug my heels in when it came to Frank and I was like, all right, let's do it. We can make this work. So it's just, it depends on the person and it depends on the situation. So.
Okay. So I guess what would your advice be for people? So I had mentioned in the beginning that, you know, there's these, all this 90 Day Fiance, all this craze of dating, you know, overseas, dating foreign, dating long distance. Like, it's literally a craze now. People are starting to fall into this trap. I mean, we have all these shows of people going on OkCupid Philippines, OkCupid Colombia. I didn't even know these things were, like, you know, possible. Like, these were actual, you know, sites. Like, yeah. Recently on the show, on 90 Days the Other Way, there was a young woman. She's a white woman, 20-something years old, from Utah, who got onto, like, I don't know if it was OkCupid Korea. I don't know. One of those, something like that. And she ended up meeting this guy, and needless to say, it is not working out very well. She got pregnant, like, I don't know, a month into them meeting. I think the second meeting or whatever. But long story short, that you have a lot of young people now actually seeking out long distance relationships because they're like, well, nothing's going on, nothing's popping off in America. So I guess what would you obviously being in a long distance relationship, like, what would your advice be to those of us who are just like, I don't know what the real appeal is. I don't know if it's just like desperation or if it's like, you know, I just want to open up my mind and try something new. But what would your advice be to individuals who are thinking about, you know, actively choosing this life?
So, I mean, it's one of those things where we all want companionship. We all want chemistry. We all want to feel connected to somebody. And, you know, if you go into this with the mindset that, like, you know, you're going to find somebody and you're going to be in this long distance relationship only temporarily, like, you have to go into it with the mindset that, like, this isn't permanent. You know, this is going to be a temporary thing and you're building this foundation so that when you guys do come together, when you do get to be in the same vicinity as each other, you can move forward together as a couple. So, like, you have to go into it with the idea that, you know, you're building something for the future. If you go into it with sort of like a flimsy, like, hey, you know, I'm just going to kind of see where this goes and what happens, I don't know that you're going to necessarily be, you're not going to like I don't know if your expectations are going to be met, because I feel like in long distance relationships, if you're not in it to win it, you're not going to win it. It's long distance relationships will test your patience. They'll test your perseverance. They will test your faithfulness. They will test your resolve, everything that you have, because, you know, in times of loneliness, in times of heat, quote unquote heat, all that type stuff, you know, you're liable to stray. But if you're in something to win it and you're with somebody that you're like, no, we're building for the future, then all that other stuff is just like, it's like, not worried about it right now. Yeah, I'm, you know, lonely. Yeah, whatever. But like, I got this that I'm building towards. I'm not going to throw that away for something fleeting. So like, I feel like you have to go into it with this mindset that you're building for the future. But we also have to keep in mind too, that times have changed. You know, like, I don't know if many people know this. My close OG, like, real old school friends may not even remember this, but know this, that, like, my first technical quote unquote boyfriend was a guy that I met on AOL Instant Messenger who lived in, like, California, who at the end of the day ended up being a woman. And it was insane. Like, it was crazy. Like, I happened to remember this the other day. I was like, yo, remember, like, oh my God, like, my whole story is insane. But like, back in the day when AOL Instant Messenger and chat rooms and all that kind of stuff were popular and not, you know, places where, you know, To Catch a Predator takes place, you know, that was how you met people and that was what you did. And like, so many people, I could tell you, so many of my friends back in college when AOL Instant Messenger first kicked into gear, so many of my friends were in long distance relationships with screen names across the country, you know, and it was normal and it was a thing. And it was like, that was just how it was, you know, and that's just what you did. And then I feel like, you know, when we got to college, the long distance thing even became more acceptable because, like, you know, a lot of people traveled away from home for college. And it was like, you know, my boyfriend is back home and I went to college. So it's like you had the people that were like really trying to make it work, even though they left home and went on to other schools and things like that. And that was a normal thing. And then it's like, you know, with this whole generation of us getting married later in life, we're a little bit more open to doing our careers and to being busy and stuff like that. So the idea of a pen pal now is still kind of is still OK, because you're like, I still have this person over here, which is great. And I can still focus on my business at the same time, too. So in terms of long distance, it really it just depends on how you're looking at it. You know, like if you're going, like I said, if you're going into this with this idea that like you're going to be, you know, whatever, and just I'm just going to date long distance and just see what happens, I think you're going to be disappointed. I think if you're not looking for a meaningful connection and to build a future with somebody, you know, or if you're not trying to continue a relationship that was originally together, but you guys split for whatever reason for the time being, I think you'll have a hard time finding somebody, you know, that you truly connect with, because there's just something to be said for seeing somebody in person, meeting somebody in person and being with that person in person and then establishing that connection. And then if long distance happens, then like continuing to further that connection with that person through other ways besides physical touch and physical, you know, closeness to each other. So you really have to be open-minded and you really have to understand that like it's not something that is like a, it's not AOL Instant Messenger anymore where you can just be like in a screen name relationship with somebody for a couple days and then be fulfilled. Like it doesn't work like that. Like as adults, you know, if you're not in it to win it, you're not going to win.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And I've definitely heard that saying a lot more lately. Like you have to be in it. Like a lot of times I think we think we're in it, but we're really not in it because we have all these things like I'll do it, but I won't do this. I won't do that. I won't accept this. I won't accept that. And then at the end of the day, you're stuck.
Yep, exactly. You know, or the people that get into the relationship and that are in a long distance relationship and then you're entertaining other people at the same time, which to me is the most heinous thing you can do, because if the other person isn't subscribed to that same relationship theory, like we're in an open relationship, long distance or whatever, then that really does so much damage. I feel like cheating in a long distance relationship really does more damage than cheating in a close quarters relationship. And I say that because when you're in a long distance relationship, you're really, really you're building the trust and you're building the foundation of that relationship. And you're both in this understanding or supposed to be in this understanding that you're going to be faithful to one another, you know, and you're really putting your all into it. And the other person is living their life the same way that you're supposed to be living yours. So if you're living your life one way and like you're being faithful and you're turning down temptation left and right, and you know that you think you got somebody across the country or whatever that's holding you down, and you find out that this person has been, you know, having their cake and eating it too, it's really damaging. You know, it'll turn you off to long distance relationships as a whole with anybody, no matter what the connection is, just because, you know, you don't know that you'll ever be able to build trust or foundation with somebody again. And you don't know that you're going to be able to trust the foundation that you build with somebody, you know? So it's one of those things where like, you have to be careful, you know, you both need to be committed to each other and not entertaining other people on the side.
Yeah, I think that's really important too. I think that's another aspect of the long distance relationship, that it's not like you have to take it seriously, just like it is a relationship as if you guys were in close quarters. I think some people are like, yeah, I have a man, he's, you know, in Chicago, but yet they have like, you know, their like New York boo.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So
and it's
yeah.
Like, that's damaging. That's so damaging to the relationship and damaging to the trust and the foundation, because it's like, you know, especially, and then in the military, it's so much harder too, because it's like, you know, your man or your woman is in the service and they're out serving the country. And while they're out putting their lives on the line for the country, you're at home with New York Bay, you know, like, it makes you feel like you should feel like a piece of crap. Like, yeah, while my person was out serving the country, I was out, you know, getting it with whoever I could because they weren't here. Like, damn, that's messed up. You know, like there's like another level of pressure when you're a military person. That's like, no, behave yourself. Cause like, you know, it's just bad. Like you just gotta just do right. Do right, people. Just do right.
And with that, I mean, it's true that, you know what, people are not doing right in these streets. That's the problem. It's like, there's a culture of it's okay to not do right.
I don't know. Live your best life.
It's all about the YOLO. It's all about the live your best life. It's all about the, well, you know, whatever. It's like, I don't know if it's the reality TV culture that's really put a damper on this, but people, I find that people just really just don't care nowadays. Like, it's just, I don't know if it was like some sort of like solar shift, but
Mercury in retrograde,
you know, something is off. Something is not in alignment. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm one of those people that like, I'm not a doctor, but I like subscribe to that Hippocratic oath that doctors take in terms of living my best life. And it's like, you know, first do no harm. You know, like, so if you living your best life is harming somebody else or harming your relationship, then like, you're not really living your best life, or you're living your best life at the expense of somebody else. And I don't think that that's how you should be living your best life.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's hope that at some point Mercury and retrograde meet and we're back on that track. I don't know. I find that people don't really subscribe to that as much as they should, you know? And so I do hear a lot of like, I'm now hearing a lot of like, it's not really long distance relationship. I'm just hearing a lot of like long distance, like boo-ships and situationships.
Yeah.
But it's okay to do that because, you know, your main is probably like in the same town or city as you. So it's like, whatever. But
that's just messy. Like, and that, like, I do not subscribe to messy relationships. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not a fan. Like, who has time for all that drama? Like, I'm in New York, I gotta hit up New York Bay. Oh, I'm in Chicago, I gotta hit up Chicago Bay. I don't have time. I can't keep all that straight. Like, I just, it's just messy. Like, and if one city finds out about the other city, like, I just can't. It's too much.
And that's the thing. And people forget that social media is out there for everyone's use, okay? Yep. Social media, talking about Instagram, Facebook. I mean, hell, you could just randomly Google somebody's name and, like, you'll see their registry for their baby shower with their baby mama. I've had to do that for one of my friends who was, you know, questioning a relationship. I just typed in the name and bam, a baby registry from, like, Babies R Us popped up. And I'm like, it is that simple. It's that simple to figure out, you know, who's real, who's not in these streets. And it's really, really sad. It's really, really, really sad. But I feel like, you know, with you, like, you've been in your relationship for, you know, quite some time now. It's like grounded. And it's like, I feel like there is, although it's not the most ideal situation, obviously, but, you know, I feel like there's like a level of groundness that's there in this relationship of yours. You know, I've been seeing things on Facebook, social media. I haven't got to meet him yet, but I've heard so much about him. But it seems like, you know, like you said before, like if you're all in and you choose to treat your relationship, whether it be long distance or whatnot, as a real relationship, then, you know, it'll flourish and it'll stand the test of distance, stand the test of time and whatnot. And I think that that's maybe one thing that we're just not doing or putting enough effort in, is really making, like, you know, taking the relationships for what they are and not just like this thing that we just happen to do. And I think that with long distance relationships, it is easy for people to kind of just forget that they are in a relationship because they don't have that, you know, physical communication as much.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I'm big on communication and foundations and things like that with people. And it's just like, if you're in a long distance relationship with somebody and you don't see a future with them, then just end it. You know what I mean? Like, and it's as a person who was dating and was in that field not too long ago and stuff like that, and really was like, I have got to be chopped liver, because I was watching my friends left and right having babies and getting married and being relationship after relationship. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I would look around me all the time. Like, and I used to tell my mom this all the time. Like, Mom, what's up? Like, is something wrong with me? Cause like, I'm just like, and you know, people that you wouldn't even expect to be in like these committed, happy relationships that really, if you're not secure with yourself, really starts to make you question, you know, who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what your standards are. Like, dang, well, maybe I need to relax my standards a little bit. Like, maybe my, you know, my fishing net is a little too thin, you know, to let the fish into it. But in any case, like, I feel like in terms of dating, you know, if you're going to this, if you're a serial dater, do your thing, enjoy yourself, live your life, whatever, you know. But like, if you're somebody who's dating with the intention or with the desire someday to get married or to further things along or to be in a relationship with somebody, you need to look at that person that you're dating and you know, picture that future with them. You know, is this somebody that you want to be sitting in front of a fireplace with in the dead of winter, you know, on like Christmas Eve? Is this somebody that you want to be sitting across the table from at Thanksgiving? You know, like, you need to look at the future with this person. And if there's, you don't see a future with them, or if you don't see the value in what they're bringing to the table or anything like that, then that's when you need to have that conversation with that person and kind of, and get an understanding. Because it's like, that's why I think dating goes so wrong, is because people just don't communicate what their intentions are. People don't communicate what their expectations are and things like that. And it's like, you can't expect people to read your mind, or, you know, if you don't know what you want, how can you expect somebody else to know what you want, or somebody else to help you out to get to where you need to go? So in terms of like long distance, it's like, if you don't see that future with that person, or you're not sure about the relationship, you know, long distance is really going to test you.
Yeah.
Long distance is really going to really see how strong this bond that you quote unquote have with this person is. But I just feel like, you know, if you're real with yourself and you're real with your partner, you communicate about what you both want, and it's, it matches and it aligns, then, you know, long distance should only strengthen that. And you guys should be building towards that future. That's all. But it's all about the communication and looking at the big picture. Like, is this somebody you want in your life for the foreseeable future? Okay. Then you got to put the work in. No one said it was going to be easy. You know, so this is just the hurdle that you guys have to get over. But I don't think that a lot of us nowadays look at dating like that. I think we're all just, you know, we're just so influenced by social media and the mainstream culture. Yeah. That it's just like, it's not hot girl summer year round, people. Like, do you not want to?
And it's so true. I mean, even, I mean, the apps also don't make it any better. I mean, you have swipe left, swipe right. You know, so it's one of those things where it's true. Like, I think people do think it's hot girl summer all year round.
Yeah, it's not. And it's, you know, it's, I laugh with some of my girlfriends because there's Bumble and there's Tinder and there's Coffee Meets Bagel and OkCupid and Plenty of Fish and Match and eHarmony and all these different crazy sites. And it's like, okay, how do I know that the love of my life isn't on like Tinder and I'm on OkCupid or something? Or how do I know like my match is not on Plenty of Fish and I'm on eHarmony? It's like, do you create you know, if you can cut this out, that would be great. But like, I'm just saying, I had this idea to create a dating app that links all of them together. So you have one profile for all the apps. And it's like, if you swipe left on somebody or swipe, I don't know which, if you swipe that you like somebody, you know, you like them across all the platforms and they see, you know, and you connect on all the different platforms.
Girl, I think how are you going to make this hard for me to not do extra editing?
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. So, but you know, these apps don't make it easy on you. But I was like, that's my business idea. I don't want people to steal it.
Oh man, now I gotta go in here, and this is a flowing conversation. You want to go throw in monkey wrenches?
You can leave it in. It's all good.
But if anybody steals it, we know where you got it from. How about
exactly,
that? We know where you got it from.
But no, I mean, it's like this, we're in this culture of, you know, instant gratification. And I think instant gratification and relationships are two totally different things. Mm-hmm. You know, relationship is about building foundation and long-term and trust and commitment. And instant gratification is about, I like the way you look right now on this app, swipe right, swipe left. Mm-hmm. And it's, they don't go hand in hand with each other, which is kind of ironic that dating apps are instant gratification tools as well. You know, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't help in the struggle. It doesn't help in the struggle at all. So the one thing I was thinking about, and I feel like I think it might have escaped my mind, but it was back on the long distance relationship thing. Here's what I was going to ask. So outside of the military situation, because with that, you can't really control so much if your long-distance relationship partner is in the military. But for somebody who's currently in a long-distance relationship or is thinking about getting one, but they are of that, you know, I'm looking to settle down age, how long would you suggest? And I know that it varies or whatever, but what would be, because, you know, we're trying to avoid catfishing situations as well, too. How long would you suggest for somebody who is of the I want to settle down mindset, of the I need to settle down age, how long would you suggest that they last in this relationship? Meaning, you know, if like 3 years in, should they be asking questions like what's going on?
Yeah. Like, I mean, 3 years is a
long time.
Think about where you were 3 years ago and where you are now, and think about all the things that have changed in your life and all the different, you know, differences that exist then and now, you know, even in terms of just your child, think about how different they are. And like, they could be a totally different person. You know what I mean? So like, if you're in a relationship with somebody for 3 years and you haven't had that conversation, like, what are you guys doing? Like, are you guys moving forward together? Are y'all just playing house? Like, what's really happening? Because honestly, you're wasting time. Like 3 years ago, if you were to look at me 3 years ago, what, 2016, listen, things was different. Things was 180 degrees different from where I am today. You know what I mean? So time is something that you can't get back. And if you're wasting time with somebody, that's going to be a regret that you have later on down the line. You're going to be like, I wish I never wasted so much time with that person. Yeah. You know, and it's something where, you know, relationships, if you're in a long distance relationship with somebody and you're like, when's a good time to cut this and make the move together or move closer to each other, that's up to y'all. You know, like if you are still, if you're in school and you're still building your degree, or if he's doing whatever, you know, like if you guys are working towards something, then the timeline is whatever your goal timeline is for that task, you know. And then at the end of that task, it's like, okay, I've completed school and you've completed X, Y, and Z, but we're still in this long distance relationship, just looking at each other on a screen. Why? You know, is there a reason why you guys don't want to be in close proximity? If neither one of you guys are interested in moving, then that's a big conversation you need to have, because you can't continue in a long distance relationship for the rest of your life. So one of you guys has to be willing to move. And if one of you isn't willing to move, then that's a hard conversation that you have to have in your relationship. But it's like, long distance should only be a temporary thing. It shouldn't be something, because you want to build a family with somebody. You want to build a life with someone, and you can't necessarily do that, or at least you can't do it as well if you guys are that far apart. Or if you are far apart. So it's like, at some point in time, y'all got to come together. And if neither one of you is willing to do that, then I don't know that either one of you needs to be in the relationship. You know, like, you need to take a hard look at what you guys are doing. You know, or if this person is not worth you, you know, moving, or they're not, or you're not worth them moving, mm-hmm. then that's the problem. You know, like, it should come as something where it's like, okay, we're doing this temporarily until I can finish X and he can finish Y. And if it's not like a, we're just in this long distance relationship, just hanging out, then that's a problem. Like, that's not a good thing, I don't think. You know, I'm not a relationship expert, but like, there should be a goal down the line for y'all to accomplish whatever it is you're doing and then move closer together and build together with one another. Like, that's how that works.
Now, is that something that you would encourage, I guess, being discussed early on? Because I find that a lot of times women especially, because they don't want to be seen as like thirsty or trying to jump the broom in 2 seconds, they are very, they're very hesitant on asking certain questions early on or making certain statements, because they don't want to be seen as like, oh, this girl is like, we just met. Like, why are you asking me about, you know, if I'm married or not? So, so I mean, you know, I feel like that's something that you would, especially in a long distance relationship, like if you guys are getting, like if some guy that came from Chicago, I don't know, I keep talking about Chicago because I feel like maybe my boo is out there. I'm putting it out there. Anybody living in Chicago, I feel like my boo is out there in Chicago. But it's like, let's just say a guy, you know, I meet some guy at like some event in New York City and he lives in Chicago and whatever the case is, and he's showing interest. Because that's the other thing I hate too, when guys are just like, oh, well, I'm like, no, you asked me for my number. I have enough friends. You know, I'm not sitting here collecting numbers to make friends. If you're asking me for my number, yeah, it's because you're looking for something more. Now, it could just be to smash, but it's definitely not just being my friend. So, yeah, you know, but if he asked me for my number and we start having conversations and, you know, we're talking and weeks are going by, at what point now is it, you know, do we have a conversation? Like, what are you ultimately looking for? Because this is a long distance thing right now. You're not in my backyard. So I don't want to be wasting time and like data on my phone communicating with you.
We wasted data?
I have a T-Mobile plan, so I'm good. But I know a lot of my friends who, unfortunately, I don't know if they're on Metro PCS or Cricket, but they are always concerned about data. So it is a very much a concern in 2019 for a lot of professional women.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not everyone's got that unlimited plan. Hit me after 9 when my nights and weekends are free.
You like, know, we're going back. Everything's going back full circle, so.
But to answer your question, I feel like, you know, if you just met somebody and you guys are just talking, just getting to know each other, I think you guys need to give that some time. I think you guys need to establish some, you know, some things first. You know, like, okay, are we like, I feel like you can't have that conversation if you guys aren't talking to each other exclusively. Like, if it's like, okay, we've been talking now for a couple of months, we're talking to each other exclusively, you're just for me and I'm just for you. And I feel like there needs to be some visits that happen. Like, okay, so you come stay with me for the weekend, I come stay with you for the weekend. You know, let's see how we interact in close quarters with each other. You know, like, let's see how we interact in person. Because there's a lot of times, like, let's face it, there's a lot of relationships that, like, we have that are semi long distance where, like, you get in person and you're like, I actually don't like you.
Like, yeah, you know,
or like you get in person. Like, I've had relationships with people where, like, you talk on the phone or you talk online or you're texting and chatting with people, and then you get in person, you're like, we don't really have anything in common. Like, I don't really have anything to talk to you about right now, you know? Like, so you kind of have to, you have to establish that framework and those guidelines. Now, if you've been talking to a guy for like a long time, for several, for like a year, or, you know, 18 months or whatever.
No, we can't be doing that. I mean, we're getting up there, like, in age.
Yeah, like, you're 30 and neither of you have talked about what you want. Like, I feel like in any relationship, whether you're long distance or whether you're right in front of each other's face, at some point over dinner, somebody's got to ask the question of what the other person is looking for. Yeah. Like, okay, so are you, like, interested in a relationship? What do you, like, you need to find out what the other person's intentions are. Because if the other person's intentions are like, oh, I'm just trying to be a F-boy for the rest of my life. Okay, so then this long-distance relationship is straight just like it is. I'm going to do my thing over here, and we can chat periodically, whatever. You know, but if he's like, no, you know, I'm looking to settle down, I'm looking to, you know, get married, I'm looking to do this, I'm looking to do that. It's like, okay, where do you see yourself doing that? Like, do you see yourself only settling down in Chicago? Because Chicago is our place of reference for today. Or, you know, do you see yourself moving, relocating? Is relocating a possibility for you? Like, I think at some point in time, after you guys have laid a little bit of framework and guidelines and established some things, I think it's not out of the question to say, okay, so we're not necessarily, where do you see this going, but what are you looking for? You know, like, what exactly are your intentions, and what's your end game? You know, and if you're brave, you could say, where do I fit into that?
Ooh, you know? You're brave.
If you're brave, because you may say, you know, what's your intentions or what's your end game and where do I fit into that? And they may say, well, you know, I'm really looking for somebody who's got more X, Y, and Z, or, you know what I mean? Like, they may do something that crosses you off the list and lets you know in no uncertain terms that, like, you're not the person that fits into their long-term plan. And then
at
that, all right, cool, thanks for dinner. I'm gonna catch you on the flip side. Right. Like, you know, but it all starts with that communication. Communication is key in any of these relationships, situationships, boo-thang-ships, whatever you want to call them. Like, you got to communicate. And if you don't communicate, then both of you have to be content with just taking a boat to nowhere and hanging out in the middle of nowhere. So.
Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are okay with that. So, I mean, if that's your thing, great. But don't, you know, a year later now talk about I have a year wasted under my belt. Yeah.
Like, did you try to steer the boat anywhere? No, exactly. Y'all both sat in the boat with no paddles and nobody tried to steer anywhere. So you can't be mad at each other for wasting time.
Exactly. So the moral of the story is, for me here, is that women, it is okay to steer the boat a little bit. Now, you don't want to be, you know, captain whatever, but you at least want to, you know, at least want to have a paddle in hand, at least.
Yeah. At the very least, you know, if you guys can hop in the boat together and see where the current takes you for a little while, but at some point, one of y'all has to pick up the oars and start steering it towards land or towards something more concrete, or else you're just going to be sitting in the middle of the ocean for no reason.
Yeah.
So you at some point, someone's got to steer. And if it's a group steer and you're steering together, that's even better. And if it's one person steering the boat, you got to make sure that other person is okay with the path that you're putting them on. Because if you're trying to steer them to marriage and they're looking more for, like, you know, Temptation Island, y'all may need to split up a little bit. You know what I mean? So, you know, one of you may try to jump ship before you get to the destination. That's all.
And make sure when you jump ship, you have a life vest. Okay.
Yeah. Don't swim for your life. Because there are sharks.
There are sharks. And we all know that not everybody is a strong swimmer.
Yes, this is true.
All right, then. Well, I think that this was a very informative and insightful conversation, especially in the climate that we're in now, where relationships and dating is just a whole, like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just watching. I have no idea what's happening. Like, you can't, there's no, like, real flow of things, you know? You're just watching messes take place. And I feel like now, people are actually going back to the whole, maybe I can engage in a long distance relationship. But I find that sometimes it's for the wrong reason. I think some people just want that good morning, beautiful text.
Yep.
And you know that they just want that conversation, but they're actually, because I've heard that a lot from some of my girlfriends who were even on some of these dating apps, like people, these guys will have conversations with them, and girls too, girls do it too. These individuals will have conversations with each other all damn day, but will never actually schedule a meetup. And it'll be like months later, and they're just like, they're just not interested in meeting up and taking the next step, but they're so okay with like the pen pal conversations. And I think a lot of people are now looking for long distance relationships as like a pen pal companionship situation, more so than like, oh, I never had any intentions of moving, or I'm not, this is just, and I think that's hurting, you know, that's causing a lot of hurt, because there are people who are straight up falling in love, hence why Catfish is such a popular TV show.
Yeah. I don't understand how that show has like 7 or 8 seasons. And like after season one, why do we still need Catfish? Like, that's, it's obvious if this person hasn't met you, they're like, they're not looking like their profile, or they're not a person that you think they are. Like, come on,
it
man.
It doesn't make any sense. But I find that, again, it's that culture though. Like, people are okay with, like, I think at the core of it, people just want companionship. And they just want to know that somebody's there to listen. They want to be able to share their day. Like, oh, let me tell you. Because I'm not going to lie, like, even with myself, like, I've been single for quite some time. But, you know, I enjoy, like, a good conversation. I don't enjoy a good, like, you know, fuckery conversation. Like, but I do enjoy, like, you know, just having, like, somebody to kind of, like, talk to and stuff like that. So I totally get it. But I wouldn't do so at the expense of somebody actually falling for me and wanting to be with me, and I'm just like, nah, but you were just a conversation.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I'm not a therapist. Like, if you're looking for somebody to chat with for the rest of your life, get a therapist. Like, that's not my job. Like, if you're looking for somebody to bill with, holla at your girl. But it's like, I feel like a lot of times, you know, long distance relationships are sort of the cop out for people that like the idea of a relationship, but not necessarily the actuality of being in a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, like, and a lot of people treat long distance relationships like that, when it's, you know, that's not how it should be looked at. If you're in long distance with somebody, it should be something where you're looking to build. But right now you guys are just in separate spaces until you can come together and build together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, for a lot of people, it's like, yeah, like you said, they like the idea of the relationship, but they don't like the actuality and the responsibility of being in said relationship. So that good morning, beautiful text is all they're really looking for, you know, or that person to talk to about their day, or say hello to, or whatever, or share memes with. Like, that's all great, fun and fine and dandy. But if both people aren't privy to that frame of thinking, someone's going to get hurt feelings later on down the line.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, it always boils down to communication and talking about what your expectations are with somebody and where you're looking to go.
Well said. Well, with that being said, you know, at first I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be like a 30-minute conversation. And it ended up being like an hour conversation.
I guess you're going over your time slot this week.
I mean, listen, since I have clear range for now, nobody has slipped into the time slot afterwards. I'm okay with that.
We're good.
We're good. We'd like to keep it good, but you know.
I'm keeping it, like, I know your MO, so I will make sure that time slot after you stays open long as physically possible.
Possible, yes, yes. You know, I never intend to go over, but then when you get the right guest on, the conversation just goes, and I'm like, I don't want to cut it. Editing like good conversation is the worst, because you're like, man, I wanted to keep this in.
Yeah, like, heck, I like that part.
Exactly. So, you know, so we're good for now. No.
Frankly, I like our boat metaphor in the ocean with the paddles. I think that was very poignant.
I really like that. No, nothing is getting edited here. Like, this is amazing. Okay. I really did like that analogy as well too, or that metaphor. I'm like, huh? How can I use this in the future?
Yep.
Well, so before we get off, we might as well, since I have you on here, we can make a quick little advertisement for the walk that's taking place in October, the Lung Cancer Research Breathe. Is it? I never get the name right.
It's Breathe, the Free Brooklyn? To Breathe Walk.
Oh, Free to Breathe.
Brooklyn's Free to. So there's the Lung Cancer Foundation. I'm sorry, Lung Cancer Research Foundation has lung cancer walks all throughout the month of October, all around the country. And they're all described by the state or the city that they're in. So there's the Brooklyn Free to Breathe Walk. There's like the Tampa Free to Breathe Walk. So they're all sort of identified by the locations in which they're happening. Mm-hmm. So the one that we're going to be in on Sunday, October 20th, is the Brooklyn Free to Breathe Walk. I believe we walk across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes.
I've amassed a little bit of a team for Team Jams, which is exciting. So if you want to join the team, you can check us out. The link is on my Facebook page. And I should probably put it on the website as well. I'll put it on the WJ.
Yeah, put it on the website. Put it on the website.
Yeah, for sure. So you can join the team or you can donate. I'm trying to raise $2,000 for lung cancer research. Every bit helps, honestly, and it helps to create the next line of medication for yours truly. So I definitely am pushing for that to make sure that I got a boat to jump into if this one starts to take in a little bit of water.
Yes. And I'm not good with the social media thing sometimes. You would think that I would be by now. But I did post, I did create like a page. And I posted it on my Facebook page, on my Rita Pierre, my actual government name, Facebook page.
My actual government name.
So I have it up there. I'm going to try to repost it and figure out how to, like, I invited a bunch of y'all. So for those of you who are listening and who got an invite, it's not spam. It's not a bot. It's me that invited you to this. Donate. I already had one of my friends, Jonathan, who already donated some money. And I also posted, it should have went up, but I posted the pictures of the t-shirt that was created for our Frida Women NYC. A lot of you guys had hit me up on the side talking about you wanted to walk. So if you also want a t-shirt, also let me know. They're up. I'll try to post them on the According to RP. You guys are not really onto the Facebook like that, but the Instagram, yes. I'm going to post it on the Instagram so you guys can see what it looks like. And let me know if you want to order the shirt because we are trying to look collective. Jamie already went and got sneakers, right?
No, I haven't.
And you got to get sneakers.
Shop again, and he's going to kill me.
No, but this is for a good cause. This is for a good cause.
I have blue sneakers. I think I got good, comfortable blue sneakers. So I think I'm
there. You go. There you go. So you're good. You're good. I think I have to go and look into my collection and see if I have anything. If not, I will have to make a purchase. So that I could look uniform. But yes, we're really excited about this walk. I have my goal as $500. I know a lot of people, so there's no reason why I should not make over $500. So I will definitely try to repost this information on the According to RP page so you guys can also follow along and donate as well. I mean, if you don't show up, you could donate $10, you can donate whatever you have. It all matters. I have like over 1,000 friends on Facebook. So if everybody gave $1, imagine. So
that would be perfect.
Exactly.
And also I am a featured speaker at the walk. Apparently I've been working very closely with the Lung Cancer Research Foundation. They've been using me and my face as a promo for a lot of things. So I'm currently on billboards and trains and buses down in Philadelphia on the Lung Cancer Research Awareness Campaign. I also am going to be the featured speaker at one of the featured speakers at the Brooklyn Free to Breathe Walk. I'm also speaking at the kickoff event happening this Wednesday evening, I believe. So I'll be speaking at that event as well. And I'm going to be the face on the thank you email that goes out after the walk is said and done for all the donations that are raised. So like, I'm really doing some crazy big things. So I hope you guys will come out. I'm bringing awareness, man. My face is bringing awareness to lung cancer research, and I'm happy for that because it's like, if I can get this, anybody can get this. Like, this came out super left field. So, yeah.
So any of you guys living in the Philadelphia area, if you could take a picture of a billboard or a bus with Jamie's picture on it and you DM me in the According to RP IG DM, then I will send you a shirt.
And I will send you something too. If you tag WJMS Radio in it, I'll send you station swag as well. So there you go.
That's your assignment, my Philadelphians. Is that how we call them, Philadelphians?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
It sounds good. It sounds appropriate.
I'll post all of this on the WJMS Facebook and Instagram as well so that you guys have it. You'll have the links, everything that you need, as well as the promo post for me and According to RP so that you guys know where you can get your free gear from if you tag me in the picture. So there you go.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much, Jamie Just Jammed Bulls.
You're welcome. You don't even have to call me by the full thing. You could just, that's why it's just Jam.
I know, but you know, I mean, if you've listened to my shows, you know I love putting people's government names out.
Government name. Let me give you my middle name while you're out here, too.
I mean, if you're willing, if you're willing. Nope. I like to be distinctive. I am that person that will, if I can't call you by your full name, I will create a special name for you. I'm like all into being, you know, distinguished with my friends. So
fair enough, fair enough.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. I hope you guys learned something new today, especially about this long-distance relationship thing that's going on in these streets. Don't get caught, or don't be, what would you be, what would you call this person? Don't be a catcher. Don't be a the person who's actively going out there now and like setting these traps. Like you could, I could say don't get caught, like don't be a victim, but don't be a
Don't be out there fishing with no net.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be that type of fisherman. Don't be that type of fisherman.
Just catching fish and hurting feelings and throwing them back.
Yeah, we know. All right, everyone. So I will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show